Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Cut the Shock Entertainment Report. My intro song is playing, but I do not hear the audio at all. But I'm super excited. Go ahead and just get into it. We have special guest, music guru, my longtime online friend, music guru Peter Cook, who will be calling into the show. And it's going to be a fun show. It's a 40-minute show, and we're going to have a blast of a good time. I'm just wondering what happened to my intro. Oh, my God. I never experienced technical difficulties with my music. Have everything, my intro, oh my goodness. So let me, here it is. Oh, thank God. This Prince, Third Eye Girl, Menstrual Cycle, been my theme song pretty much since the end of 13. I love Prince instrumentals. Ever since I was a little girl, I've loved his instrumentals. And so, yeah, I'm talking about Prince. One thing about it, Peter Cook is an amazing music guru whom have worked with so many amazing artists and musicians and people in the business world, but also we have a common interest, and that is the history of Prince, the business of Prince also. But my apologies for that technical difficulty with the music. Never have problems with the music, but always had to prepare for Murphy's Law, right? But I'm going to zoom in and just start talking with Peter. Peter is online. We've been talking about Peter coming on as a guest, I know, since 2012, maybe soon after I premiered the show back in 2011. But finally he's here, and if you need to call in and ask a question or make a comment, you should do that, because he won't be returning until October. And so he has so much on his plate. He's busy, but what I've noticed and what I love about his work is, it seems like he always managed to take time for the people, regardless of who you are, celebrities or just everyday working people. If you love business, if you love music, then he's there for you. He is the head of Human Dynamics, the Academy of Rock. He's a sought-after speaker, author, facilitator. He's authored 8 books. And definitely is so cool with leadership. Hopefully he'll come here to the Deep South real soon and teach us a few things. But I can go on and on, because I have been not only enjoying networking with him, but he's been researching Peter for ages, and I still feel like I'm not prepared enough. But we're going to listen to him, and I'll ask questions, but I'm sure he wants to provide information with us and would love for listeners to call in also, I'm quite sure. But we only have about 40 minutes, so we definitely have to use our time wisely, and I'll definitely be playing 2 of his newest tracks, hot tracks, important tracks. Tears could come, my eyes welled up with tears because one of his songs, there's a tribute to Prince, a Prince tribute song, charity song for Children's Hospice. But he'll tell us more and more. I'm just getting just so excited to be speaking with him, and I hope I hope I'm saying everything right. But without any further ado, here's the Honorable Mr. Peter Cook calling straight from across the pond. I love my friends in the UK and worldwide. So thank you for coming on as guests, and looking forward to talking with you again in October.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, and it's late here, but it's afternoon with you, isn't it? Late afternoon.
Yes, it's evening. It's evening, late evening. Yes.
So we're on the same place.
Yes, exactly. I love evening, and I'm an early bird, but I love evening and late night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad you're available today because I know your schedules are full.
Now, you can't see me blushing down the phone because I heard your introduction, and I'm really sorry that I was late arriving at 5:30, but my taxi didn't arrive, so I just rushed in for the, to start now.
Wow.
So apologies for that.
Oh, accepted. And Murphy's Law happened with me. My theme song, Prince and Third Eye Girl, was slow starting, and I was like, oh my God, but finally.
Have you got the album
yet?
It
did, because
I
want to play your two tracks also.
Yeah, but the real deal is, have you downloaded the two free tracks and put your order in for the two albums? Because they're great.
Your download or Prince?
No, Prince. Come on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm going to when this evening, tonight. And
yeah,
I thought that
next
time you come back, it would be good for us to talk about some of our favorite people. Because you interviewed George Clinton recently.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And you and I have talked about Bill Nelson and Jimi Hendrix. When you return, let's talk about some of my favorite people.
Okay, that'd be fine.
But have you? What is your review of the two new free tracks?
Well, to quote a song, there is some controversy, isn't there, about Clouds. Some people love it and some people hate it. It's what we call a Marmite song in this country. You know, you love it or you hate it. I love it actually. I think it's really great, this song. I mean, he's talking about all sorts of things in there about sort of being bombarded with information, and you've got to sometimes just press the stop button. I never press the stop button. I don't think Prince presses the stop button. But,
I don't think he pushes it either.
No, exactly. So, but he's talking about the idea of contemplation and getting in your groove, really. So I think that's that works for me. So I love Clouds, and I'd heard the other one before. The Breakdown is such an absolutely cool song.
Wow, because I almost downloaded in preparation of, and I was like, well, we both love Prince, and I know we'll talk about Prince, but then I figured if the whole show would turn to Prince.
Let's get him on the show.
I know you need to share with us some of the things and projects that you're working on now and also within the next few weeks and months.
But why don't we get him on the show now?
Why don't we
just get Prince on the show?
I would love it. I know Matt Speak has agreed to be a guest real soon. So
he will.
If you notice, I tagged him and told him to tune in. But
yeah,
let's just ask.
We'll get him on a cell phone. He hasn't got a cell phone, has he? But
yeah.
We'll do it.
I hope Prince is listening because he does listen to the show. So, Prince, we're asking you right now, in October or before October, but for a matter of fact, for the release of the new record, call in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Peter will call you from whatever event he's at.
Yeah, just ring me, Prince, and let's get together with Beth, and let's talk about Third Eye Girl.
Exactly. You know what? Yeah, I'm talking about you should come to America, come to the Deep South, and host some events. I work with women in Mississippi. The music date. You know, B.B. King, Elvis Presley. But well, that would be amazing
I've got
if
New
you
York
and Prince. You
yeah,
and
I've
Prince
got as far as New
like
York
seminar.
And, I got as far as New York, and I've also been as far as Kansas, but I haven't got much further, so there's still a way to go.
Yeah, that would be good. We have to work on that. but that would be, I always think of Prince, and when he was guest on Arsenio Hall back in the springtime.
Oh, that was great.
He told Arsenio said, if you wasn't a star, what would you do? He said, I'd be a teacher. He said he liked teaching. He liked, that's why he had so many protégés. And it would be wonderful if Prince would start doing symposiums and seminars.
Yeah, who would go? Do you think he'd get an audience?
Many, like you have four houses. Just imagine if he teamed up with you. That would be just amazing.
I could wear leather pants and shave my hair on one side, you know. But I'm not so slim as Third Eye Girl anymore. you know, that might be a problem for him. You know, he's a master of style and substance, so he wants you to look good and play good. I can play good, but, you know, I think I might be too old for him now. I'm the same age as Prince, by the way.
Oh,
I'm
50.
Yeah, we're about 2 months apart in birthdays. But we're a long way apart.
So we're 10 years difference then, because Prince and I are 10 years difference, and so you and I 10 years
difference. We're several sizes apart in clothes, me and Prince.
But on the same cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
But on the same cloud when it comes to music.
Exactly, you know. Anyway, what do you want to talk about?
Oh wow, it's so much. Oh my God. Researching, first of all, you and I have been effectively networking for years, and then the research, oh, man, you are amazing. So we can talk about human dynamics and the Academy of Rock. You've been combining music and business for over 20, 30 years.
20 years. Just
20
about 20 years.
Years.
But I mean, I could probably say a bit about that. I mean, I started out life having to, like, a dilemma, a bit like Prince, really. I thought, shall I be a musician or shall I go and work for a living? And I chose differently to him. I went and worked for a pharmaceutical company. I think the best one in the world. It was the pharmaceutical company called Wellcome, which became GlaxoSmithKline, which you'll know over there. It was a philanthropic pharmaceutical company started by two American guys about 150 years ago, and they wanted to actually, I know people, you know, people say bad things about pharma companies, that they don't want to cure anyone. This wasn't a company that was like that. They wanted to get rid of tropical disease, and eventually they did quite a few things to do that. But, you know, that was a great company. It was built by two philanthropists, a bit like a sort of Batman phenomenon, Bruce Wayne. They didn't make a profit, but they made a lot of money, and they ploughed it back into research. I worked there for a long, long time. I absolutely loved it.
I see,
best
like 14 years, from like 76 to 90?
Yeah, well, nearly 18, in fact. And, you know, I developed the first AIDS drug there, helped to develop that. And so I had a blast doing that, actually. It was a really important job, but I had to mortgage being in a rock band. And I wasn't so good when I was 18 as a musician anyway. You know, I was better at sort of chemistry than I was at music. So that was my first part of my life. And then I moved on and became a tutor on MBA programs. So I've got this strange mixture of music, science, and management. And all I have done in my life is to bring the three things together. And you know George Michael, don't you, over there?
Oh, I love George Michael. Now, if you can get him, if you can ask him to call
him,
please.
Let's call him up now. But before George Michael was George Michael, he was in Wham, and he had that song about claiming benefits, which had that verse in it, enjoy what you do. And all I've done is bring together. Yeah, all I've done is bring together what I like doing with what gets me paid. And I think that's what Prince does as well, actually. So, you know, you've got to So not everyone can have that career journey, but it's taken me a long time to do it. But now I probably can say that I mix up business and music in an interesting way, because these things are separated at birth, aren't they? Music and business. You go to school and you have a music lesson, and then you have a lesson about maths, and people consider that those things are different. But in fact, they're not. Einstein was a great music lover, and he said if he wasn't going to be a physicist, he would have been a musician. So, you know, we've been told by teachers that these things shouldn't be mixed up, that music is one thing and then we go to work. But in fact, I found that the things, and I meet a lot of people that tell me the same thing, that in fact they're not discrete disciplines, they're quite interesting and intertwined things. So that's what I do in the daytime, and I get to go around the world occasionally talking to people about business, which is my sort of other love, and then I get to play riffs. So that's the kind of best thing you can get, I think. You know, it is enjoy what you do. I won't do that falsetto wham rap thing there, but
please do.
Enjoy what you do. And it's late at night here. I can't do it. But it's that sort of thing where you kind of mix the two things. And so much of our lives are put into compartments, and we need to be free of that.
Yes, and then that has to alleviate the stress. And as I watch your events, it's amazing how when you work with companies and your students just open up.
Yeah, if you allow people to do that, they aren't as tight as they're not as tightly wound as they seem to be at work. It's like almost as though I saw a great cartoon once over here, and it said it was a woman waving to her husband going off in the morning to work, and she's waving at the door and she's going, "Darling, you forgot your facade."
Oh my God.
You know, like, and yeah, everyone, people say
we
to me,
all
well,
can relate, regardless of how we all can relate to that.
People say to me, "You work with banks, that must be boring." And I go, "No, actually, they're pretty interesting people. It's just that they wear a cloak for the day." And I work with a guy that he was on the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee, and I'm in a rock band with him. And he's managed to do he's not had a facade. He's a real person, and he by day he does his economics. But we all have to relax, and music is his sort of love as well. So, you know, you discover amazing things about people that seem to be tightly wound, and they're not really, actually. It's like when I interviewed Bob Marley's bass player the other day, and he was pretty chilled, and he was saying, you know, we've got to get back to sort of working out how we can work together, because we've forgotten all that. And I think that's what musicians bring to this, that businesses are sometimes a bit tightly wound and they need a little bit of unwinding. And music is a beautiful way to do that.
And I bet when you work with some companies and some people think that they're only music lovers, and I bet they find out they have hidden talents.
People say to me, how can you work with 10 people? There won't be any musicians in the group because they're all accountants. And absolutely, you can almost guarantee you're going to find two. And, you know, I did a gig the other day for a bunch of market analysts, and I thought that's a pretty unpromising start to the evening. But in fact, there was a brilliant female bass player. I mean, she could have knocked the spots off of some of the people that, you know, are professionals and people like that. Mm-hmm. So you just, people hide their talent. And I don't really know why that happens. So I've sort of got to the point where I've stopped hiding it, which is why I sort of did the song for Prince, really.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that is a jamming song, but then at the same time it's for a good cause. Can you tell us about the song, and then I will play it?
Yeah, well, What You See Is What You Get is a song that turns the table on Prince's dynamics, because it's about a woman or possibly a man that's going, "Hey, Prince, you know, we're going to get together," which is But it's not quite clear who's sort of coming on to who, which is how he would write it, of course. And
yes,
I took the cheeky idea
that,
of...
I noticed that.
Yeah, I took the other cheeky idea of developing all the lyrics that I wrote were sort of combinations of Prince's song titles. So every word in the song which you're going to hear is a sort of Prince song title. So that's a bit sort of cheeky. But the song is respectful to Prince's music, so it's a funky piece. It's kind of funk and roll. But I haven't stolen anything of his music. Well, I don't think I have, you know. It's all been recorded here. And I've got a fantastically great vocalist, a woman called Sharon Mari, who's a young music student. And I said, sing to me sexy, please. And she had a bit of a problem with that to start with. She's going, really?
Uh-huh.
I said, yeah, just, you know, you're sitting with Prince and, you know, just, you know what to do. But she didn't. But we got there after three takes, and I've got a brilliant bass player on the piece as well, a great man called Don, who played this incredibly funky bass line. It would stand really well with people like Larry Graham and some of Prince's people. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking about it. But that's
it. And well, that's not it. It is a charity song. For an important cause,
especially
to your heart and kids, and that the hospice care.
England, hospices are I don't know how it is over there, but in England, hospices aren't really, they're overlooked by government. It is all money that they can get, and we have big charities that get a lot of money, and the hospices don't seem to get a lot of money. And this particular charity, it says their motto is adding life to days when days can't be added to life. And I think that sort of really sums it up. So it's a great charity, and the best thing to do if people want to get the song is to download it from Bandcamp. And if they just Google what you see is what you get, Academy of Funk and Roll, they'll find it on iTunes, Amazon, all those places. But absolutely the best place to get it from is Bandcamp, because I've charged an absolute fortune for it on Bandcamp, £2.99 or probably about $3.50. But 85% of that money goes straight to the charity, whereas on Amazon and iTunes, it's a penny, you know, or a cent by the time they've all had their...
So definitely go to Bandcamp, so the 85% can definitely be donated to the
take a simple 15% away, which I think is absolutely, it's what George Clinton's talking about musicians getting paid for their money. In this case, it's the charity getting paid. But, you know, all the pennies and all the cents just disappear on the major distribution channels. But I don't care where people buy it. I want them to buy it. If you get it on iTunes, that's fine. If you get it on Amazon, if that's your account, then that's fine.
But you definitely want it to go to the charity also.
Yeah,
we've
got to realize that the big channels are the things that people... This is the problem that Georgie talks about, that, you know, the big operators, you know, they've got your account details and you click once and you buy. Whereas Bandcamp, you've got to set an account up and it takes another two clicks. But hey-ho, you know, for a charity, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, so music, I think Prince is also of the view that people are that in the future, there was an interview I heard today with him where he was saying that in the future, independent artists will be bigger in this. But they've got to get past this sort of idea that people want to get their stuff really quickly. So, yeah, it might take you two more clicks to get it off Bandcamp, but it's probably worth it.
Wow, Prince, George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic was my first major concert. I was 7 years old.
Really?
It was like in 77, 76. Yeah. My sister took me to the Mothership Connection. It was the Mothership Connection concert. And you're talking about, you know, it was smoky in there. But that was, that was my first concert. And I'm like you. I love the world of business. And I love the world of music and fashion. And so when I went to that concert, I knew then, I was like, okay, I was loving music anyway, loving beauty and fashion, but I was like, man, Man, this is an amazing concert. It was just so spectacular, and the big mothership and all. But I was only 7, and that was my first major concert. George Clinton, he's still funking it up. That was so amazing.
Well, that's in the Smithsonian Institute, isn't it now, the mothership?
Yes.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, I couldn't, but I kept pinching myself when I met him.
Wow.
The second time, just recently, for an interview, I thought, crumbs, is this really happening? You know, I mean,
I know, I can
which
see
mother,
you both.
Which planet
like
are we
as
on?
He was as excited as you.
Well,
he loved the conversation,
huh?
You guys really could.
There was a big queue of people to interview him, so I had to be really quick. But
mm-hmm.
he woofed
wow.
at me. That was nice. He's going, woof.
Well, I definitely want to play what you
well,
see
why not
is what
it?
You get right now. So let's do it. Okay.
What you looking at, honey?
How did you find it?
Day our daily spread, and forgive us our borrowings, as we forgive them that borrow against us. And lead us not into taxation, but deliver us from pensions. For thine is the credit, the quantitative easing, forever and ever. Amen.
Now I know I have a new God. No credit, live inside my wall. Just pay my way by what planet with love, not greed. It's no more boom or bust for me. I wanna live sustainably. I swap the princess suits and ties for a better life with natural eyes.
Not gonna jump that fiscal cliff. Gonna repent and write a new riff. Just pay my way. The planet without the crime.
Amen.
Rocking awesome. Woo! Tell us about it.
Ah, okay, so you play them back to back. So the Prince song
yes,
was done,
indeed.
But Fiscal Cliff, this was a song
yes.
I wrote about the this occasional 10-year cycle of having a boom and bust. And I wrote that song about a year ago and around the sort of fiscal cliff in America. And I managed to get a Swiss banker to sing on vocals, and I got it produced
wow.
and by a chap called Bernie Tormey, who's played with Ozzy Osbourne, and I've done a few gigs with him, and I'm playing with him in the UK coming up in October as well. A great man,
yeah.
actually. Yeah. A fantastic man. He's got a new album out coming out called Flowers and Dirt, and it is absolutely awesome material. I mean, fantastic songs. And guitar playing that you've never seen the light of day. I mean, fantastic stuff.
Wow, great.
So,
Labor Day weekend here in America, so it's perfect for this weekend. Also,
yeah, it is.
So
I mean, Fiscal Cliff tells the slightly ironic story of a banker that looks out over the city one morning and thinks, I've ruined this, I've created this mess, and then decides to jump off the literal fiscal cliff. But he's saved by God in the middle of the song, as you probably heard, that God comes mm-hmm. down to him and says, you know, you can start again. And he becomes an environmentalist in the third verse. It's the normal British ironic story of banking turned into environmentalism. I wish it were true. Uh-huh.
But some people probably say, well, it is. You're telling my story. Oh, my God. You know? There's a lot
if we have enough cash, we can turn into a green citizen.
Oh, man, isn't that, wow. That's
and it's
metaphor.
Got this very Queen-esque sort of guitar solo at the end with this sort of two guitars played together. And there's a great video on YouTube. If you put in Fiscal Cliff Academy of Rock, you can watch the song. And Bernie Taumi attacks me in the middle of the song. I don't quite know why, but I asked him to do it. And I said, you just assault me in the middle of the song for playing a bad guitar solo. And he was happy to oblige.
Great. Oh, yeah, I love your YouTube channel. So definitely go to Peter Cook's YouTube channel, Academy of Rock, because I just love it. Wow. And, you know, I'm looking at your LinkedIn page, and on your summary, you state that I don't take myself too seriously, but people tell me I'm rather good at what I do.
I put that in because I know that some people don't like you to say that you're rubbish at everything. And I, when you're on LinkedIn and there's no conversation, you know, you have to sort of say, I'm really good at everything. But I don't think we get anywhere in the world by being too serious about things. So I wish people's LinkedIn profiles were more like they were as a person.
Yes, because then I like how you continued, in the spirit of talking myself up. Here's what I do day and night. And
I did that because, you know, I think people expect it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not Prince. Well, I mean, I don't think Prince has to have a LinkedIn page, does he?
But you have a persona similar to Prince. Like, okay, I'm good. I'm good. And?
We share the same Myers-Briggs type. If we're doing psychology here, we do share the same Myers-Briggs type, apparently.
I'm glad you mentioned that, psychology, because when you mentioned that what you see is what you get concept is that you really don't know who's going after who.
Exactly.
What? And that is kind of weird, because most of Prince's songs from the 70s on are, you sometimes you think Prince is after the person, but they're like, okay, Prince is definitely good at reverse psychology.
Yeah,
also
he's a
music.
Tremendously ambiguous character, isn't he, really? I mean, that's what's kept him going, I think. There's these whole set of enigmas about him. You don't really know just who he is, and I think that's very alluring for some people. I know some people that really don't enjoy that, but for the people that love him, they love that kind of, we can't kind of nail him down.
And
we
love his writing. Yeah, his writing is just amazing. This morning I put a feeling, I was feeling sad. I was researching you. I was feeling good researching you. But I was feeling sad because, like, different sad things have been happening throughout the week. And so I was feeling kind of sad. But I said I feel sad. But then I started listening to Prince music. And it's just something about Prince music. You know, I was feeling good researching you. And then I was just feeling good listening to Prince. Even if it's a sad song, I feel good.
I noticed you've been researching me, by the way, and that's something that Prince can't do, because I saw you on my Facebook page, and I was happy about that.
I always do, ever since we talked about you coming on the show ages ago, but I'm like, wow, but you're doing so much currently also, and I know we're about to run out of time, but tell us what you're doing now. I know next Saturday you have a major event.
Well, I really want to come back to America. I was over there last year in New York. I'd like to do that again.
Yeah, I was looking at your pictures in New York.
That's not on the plan yet. But the drug company Pfizer are interested in having me do some things, so maybe that will take me there. After Estonia to do some work there shortly. We've got some fantastically good interviews coming up very shortly, which I don't think I want to tell you about.
Okay.
But I will next
tell
time.
Tell me in private. Yum, yum.
But, there's there's a load of stuff out there, and there's a YouTube channel, as you've spotted, and there's a blog and other things that I do. But the easiest thing for people to find out about everything is if they sort of type in Academy of Rock, one word, into Google, and if they put Peter Cook on the end, they will get me and not the guitar training course in Singapore, which is also called Academy of Rock.
We have a sort of I noticed like Peter Cook Academy of Rock, and then your Twitter, and you guys that are on Twitter, you can follow him at Academy of Rock on Twitter. He's also on Google One. I mean, he's all over the place.
And the great 3 minutes of my life that are going to take place in October is I am playing with a rock god for 3 minutes in London at the Borderline, which is a really cool venue. And Bernie Torway has allowed me to play a Jimi Hendrix song there. And I grew up loving Jimi Hendrix. And, Prince, frankly, took a lot of his influence, and he would say this from Hendrix, and he's mixed it up like George did with all the other influences, like a kind of, like a whirly mixer, and out of it comes funk. But in this case, in Bernie Torme's case, we're going to just do some hard rock. It's the evening of my life this year. So if you could get across to London, I'd be ever so grateful.
Oh, I would be so grateful because I have forever a desire to come to London. I have always thought I want to end up being going back and forth from London to America because I know some people probably think I traveled to London, many London friends I have. And then ironically, my niece married an Englishman. They live in Texas and expecting a baby like within a few days. She'll probably get me for telling her, some relatives don't want you talking about them. But she married a gentleman from the UK too, and I haven't met him yet, but he's my nephew-in-law. So I'm like, wow.
No, we'll be playing the
guitar.
But
I would love it if
back.
I could come to there. My friend Ebony Empress, who hosts the show right here at blogtalkradio.com. I think she's coming here real soon, but I might have to get in her suitcase and come back to London.
So it's going to be a bit like this.
Woo!
It's going to be a bit like that, but it'll sound better than on that on the telephone.
Wow. So we only have about a minute or two
I must look after your time. So thank you ever so much, Beth. I will come back. I'm just delayed going here and there. Thank you ever so much.
So I wonder, are you coming back before your event date or after?
There might be an occasion, but it's not in the next few weeks because I'm all over the place on Saturdays in the next few weeks.
We'll fix that up,
and I'd love to do another one, and we can talk about other things because we've obsessed about Human Dynamics, Academy of Rock and Prince, really. And what's wrong with that?
Exactly, and we'll have more time to talk. Also, I'll make sure, that we have an hour to 2 hours or 3 hours to talk. So whatever, however long you can talk, we will talk to infinity.
That will be good. And beyond.
Okay, so Human Dynamics, Academy of Rock, Google Peter Cook, Google Academy of Rock, and also Human Dynamics. Also, State of Mississippi. You hear? He would love to come back. There's expos and business training events that I go to that I know people would love to have you to come, and especially here in the state of Mississippi, in Texas, here in the Deep South, would love for you to come down here and jam with us. So hopefully you'll be hearing from some people, and I'll be sharing this interview with others also.
Okay. My parting shot is, I didn't mean to cause you any problems. I didn't mean to cause you any pain.